Welcome to Hot Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction and haunted entertainment community. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And we return to you once again. Happy Sunday if you're catching us live. Happy Monday if you're catching us on the recorded. Either way, thank you for spending an hour with us. We greatly appreciate that we get to keep you company and that you're turning to us for entertainment during these very unusual times.
Yes,
it means exactly. it means a big part to be a part of this industry and a part of your life during this time. Thank you for inviting us in to wherever you are listening to us. And we have a very, this is one of those topics that I have to admit, we cheated.
Yeah, a little bit.
We brought a lot of knowledge with us on this. Like, a lot of times we have to do a lot of research and work, and we actually spend a bunch of hours coming up with the topic and nailing down the particulars.
Right.
That was not this week.
Yeah.
This week we came into it, or specifically you came into it,
yeah,
with all the knowledge. We're talking about how to work with a photographer. Now, one of the things many people do not know or have maybe have forgotten about Crystal is that she is a photographer.
Yes. That's one of my many, many businesses.
She has done professional shoots. She has had to file tax forms as a photographer.
Yes. Which, you know, makes me a professional. That's my bar for a professional. If you have to file taxes,
yes,
because you made money on it.
And enough money to file taxes, she's done that. It's not something she's been doing a lot of lately.
Right.
Because you've been focusing more on the headdress making stuff and that side of things, which makes a lot of sense. But also, you know, you still have had enough variety in clients and enough experience with working with clients that you definitely have some insight on what you should be doing to work with your photographer and help that photographer get the best shots possible. And I want to be clear that this works both with professional, like a full-on getting in a professional photographer,
mm-hmm,
or a pro-am or high prosumer photographer, I would say. Someone that maybe is already on staff at your haunt, is very good at photography, but is not quite doing it, hasn't filed the tax forms yet, hasn't had to do that.
Right, they're still in the learning phase and perfecting the craft.
And maybe they haven't just built a business around it.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
Maybe they are very, very good, just haven't felt the need to build a business around it.
Right.
There are plenty of people like that.
There are.
But regardless of who you're working with, and some of this also applies if you're taking the photos yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So be thinking about all that too in this context. But we're going to be going through what you need to do in order to work with a photographer and how to get the best experience with a photographer. So please, take a moment while we're doing this intro. Go to hauntweekly.com, add that. You know, you can subscribe there to the podcast via RSS or via whatever your favorite reader is. You can also find us at Haunt Weekly on Facebook, Haunt Weekly on Twitter. YouTube.com/Haunt Weekly is our YouTube channel. Subscribe there. All the episodes go up there at pretty much the same time,
yeah,
as they go up on the website and out on all the other sources. You can subscribe there if that's easier for you. Also, iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. Also, continuing the tradition, we have our COVID-19 page, hauntweekly.com/COVID-19, COVID 19, no spaces, no dashes, no caps, no funny business, just COVID-19, letters and numerals, people. Check that out. Lots of great resources there, including practical stuff for opening a haunt during this, including our guide, including the links to the Fear Factory guide,
mm-hmm,
things like the Barbicide training and all that stuff that could be very useful, but also just some fun stuff to do while you're stuck at home.
Yeah, because you have to take time for YouTube.
You know, there was a great quote. I didn't read the book. I've not read Hank Green's new book yet. I'm actually kind of curious to read it. But I've not read the book, but John Green shared a quote from it that I love, and it's going to be a paraphrase because I don't have it in the notes. But basically says, you'll never be happy with your productivity until you learn that producing happiness for you is producing something.
Yeah.
And I never thought of it that way, and because I'm someone that is never happy with this productivity.
Right.
I could work 16 hours a day straight, sweat pouring out of my head, and still feel like I could have and should have done more.
Yeah.
I'm guilty as hell of that.
Yeah, we both have that problem.
So, you know, maybe I'll take that in, digest it, and maybe it'll help me a little bit.
It's a good quote.
But also, all the great links are there. And feel free to join us every Sunday at 8 p.m. Central, right here on our Facebook Live as we do this, record the podcast in front of a live studio audience, which we interact with sometimes. Mm-hmm. And we ask them, you know, questions, and we have winners for said questions because we're giving away buttons.
We are. It's buttons.
Buttons, yes, buttons. We're wearing both. Each of us have one of the models.
Yes.
I am sporting the non tagline one, right. And Crystal is sporting the tagline one today.
Yes.
But yes, indeed. So first off, first things first, we asked a question last week. We have a winner for said question.
We do.
Who is the winner, Crystal?
Okay, so for last week, our winner was Shannon Roble. She sent us a private message saying that on her bucket list is Gates of Hell in Vegas, and wrote us a long explanation about why.
Yeah, and I read and I got to say, consider a career in writing. I'm not actually kidding. It's not a commentary on how much you wrote. It was a lot, but it was very well written, and I enjoyed every word of it.
Yeah.
Just saying, you obviously enjoy writing, and you seem to be pretty good at it. Yeah. Maybe if you're not a writer already, new career possibility, maybe. Yep. What I'm saying. I don't know if she's a writer or not. Maybe I could be talking like Hemingway here and just think, no, you should consider writing, kid. Here.
Yeah. And since we just changed the question of the week this week, you get to go first because you came up with it.
Yes, indeed. Okay. First things first, with the question of the week, if you are live,
yes,
you can drop it in the chat. We'll be reading those answers toward the end of the week, toward the end of the
episode.
If you are not live, you're listening to this recording, once again, Haunt Weekly on Facebook, Haunt Weekly on Twitter, send us a DM on either place.
Yeah.
You can also leave a comment on this episode at either place there.
Right.
Also, hauntweekly.com, neat little contact form. Feel free to leave it there. YouTube comments, youtube.com/hauntweekly, send it there. Any of the places you find us, we have comment forms and ways to get in touch with us. They're all legit entrances.
Yes.
I mean, we're competing for buttons. This ain't Publisher's Clearinghouse.
No, and there are a limited amount of buttons.
Yes, there are. And once again, provided by the great Derek Muehlberger. We should, yes, give the credit where it's due. But anyways, question of the week this week. What is your favorite haunt marketing trick?
Yes.
And this could be something you've done and seen work, or you have seen done and really, really got your attention.
Mm-hmm.
As far as my favorite haunt marketing trick, I've been actually thinking about this and trying to come up with my answer because I have seen a lot of really, really neat stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I think my favorite haunt marketing trick that I've seen, haven't done it, not really in a position to do it.
Uh-huh.
But has to belong to Hell's Gate and the keys and the whole, the mythology they created around,
right,
it. Because everyone has heard the urban legend of the haunt with 18,000 floors, and if you survive, you get it for free and a steak dinner and whatever the hell else you get. Everyone's heard that, or variations, yeah, of it. They actually took the football and ran with it, claiming to have been that, even though it's a completely brand new construction. It's a beautiful building, but it's a completely, yeah, brand new construction. It's definitely not been there for 18,000 years in the 60s or whatever when this haunt was open. It's, right, not that. But they also have the key thing where if you find a key in a certain room, you win, your ticket is free.
Yeah.
And that's a neat little game to do, and it improves interactivity and gives people that little hope that they can get that free ticket. And it got so much goddamn buzz.
It did.
Like, they legit could not handle the crowds their very first year opening.
Yeah, it was very smart.
So, that's my favorite haunt marketing trick. And that wasn't through advertising. They didn't pay for any of this.
No.
They just took the football and ran with it, and the buzz grew on its own.
Yeah. Say, why not?
Mm-hmm. So, that's my favorite.
Well, that is a very good answer. I'm not sure how I'm following that up.
Well, you could just go ditto.
Okay, ditto for that.
Okay.
But I also...
Maybe something that a smaller haunt could do. Maybe something a little more universal.
Yeah, I like the quarter-page flyers.
Oh, yes.
Put out at all the local places, including, you know, restaurants and costume shops and things like that we've talked about. I like the guerrilla marketing of it.
Mm-hmm.
And getting together with, you know, people locally and reaching out to your community to let your community know directly that you're there.
Yeah.
And the more unique your flyer is from all of the other flyers,
yes,
the better.
That is one of the things that historically has driven me a little bit crazy about the New Orleans haunt scene.
Yeah.
I would show up at like Spirit or something.
Yeah.
And there's Our Flyer, there's Rise, there's House of Shock or New Orleans Nightmare, yeah. Mortuary. And it's like, you could tell Our Flyer apart. Yeah. We had a very different aesthetic. We always have done old-timey, you know, like wanted poster stuff. It's black, all black and white. It's very, very different. Everyone else is, even though they are very different attractions,
yeah.
follow very similar principles for designing their flyers.
They feel the same. Like they went to the same designer.
The same company, yeah. And maybe they did. Locally, they might have all gone to the same people. It's entirely possible. So, ours stands out. And that's, I think that would be the actual trick part of it. It's just come up with a weird, wacky aesthetic that no one else copies. No one's got anything else like it. Yeah. Like, I remember the death metal bands, the image of all the logos.
Right.
And it was like, Party Time or something was one of them. Like, all the death metal, the blood drips and angles and knives and lightning and pentagrams and all that. And one of them just, Party Time with big, bright balloon letters. You know which one your eye landed on.
Yeah, that's different. That's interesting.
Just have a weird design aesthetic and put it on your flyers. And quarter page flyers are perfect because they are cheap.
Yes, exactly.
Like we get about 2,000 done every year for like $100 delivered or something like that. And for obviously as you upscale it, it gets cheaper per flyer. So if you do 20,000, 50,000, whatever, it's ridiculously cheap and they go everywhere.
Yeah.
It's amazing what you can do with them. They're great. I highly recommend the quarter page flyer. Yes. With a unique design aesthetic.
Yes. Exactly.
Okay. So this week we're talking about finding a photographer.
Yes, we are.
And I've actually been very, or rather I should say working with a photographer. And I've been very interested in this topic because this is the time of year a lot of haunts are starting to think about their marketing campaign. They're starting to think about how they're, if they're still seriously planning on opening in 2020. No, a lot of haunts aren't. And by the way, I want to give some credit here while we're on this aside to Scare Factor.
Yes.
They have launched a page which is tracking haunt openings and closings.
Yes.
Now, one thing I would recommend if I could make a suggestion at them is on their list page, they're saying confirmed open, confirmed close. Maybe change that confirmed open to planning on opening. Because when you click through, it says confirming to still planning to open.
Yeah.
And that's true. That's accurate. But on the main list, it says confirmed open. I'm like, it's a little early to confirm anyone being open in 2020. Just saying, this is still very fluid.
Yeah.
So maybe planning opened, confirmed closed, because they've announced their closure. They're closed. That's pretty much done. And then unknown. So that's the one suggestion I make. It's a great resource. I helped them by giving them, told them about Scout Island's closure here.
Mm-hmm.
So do your part. Help. Do our part. If you find out about a confirmed plan or a closure, let them know. It's just nice to have this resource. It'll help everyone out.
Yes.
And I want to put that in the COVID page later. I didn't do that before we got on.
Yes. And one housekeeping note before we jump into this. We got a response last week asking us to get Jonathan a new chair. That has happened. We also have a stand for the microphone that's recording. So if you hear extra stuff in the background, let us know, because we don't know. We don't go back
and
listen to these.
And the thing is this. I actually pay someone else to do the audio leveling of it now and all that stuff. So I don't spend as much time listening to it as I once did.
Yeah.
And the reason is that way I can do other work while the audio work is being done.
Right.
It's like $11 per month for this service. It's great. It takes it off my hands, and I gain like 6 hours every month of my life back.
Yeah, exactly.
By not having to do the editing by hand.
Yeah.
If you hear that stuff, let me know. Let us know. We'll work on it. The evil squeaky chair is over there. It's still in use, and this really isn't a new chair. It's a different chair.
Yeah, it's the one you normally use.
Yeah, it's the one I normally use, but...
But not for this.
This is not... this first room has become kind of an ad hoc video studio, because we do the knitting chats and craft chats here, and we do other things as well in this room.
Right.
It's still being figured out.
It is.
We're not good at this live streaming thing. I still am trying to learn Streamlabs OBS, too.
Yeah.
That project's still underway, so we can improve our graphics a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, we got a lot of stuff going on in the hood there. But, yeah, if you hear stuff, especially on the recorded version, let me know.
Yeah.
Because I need help with that. I do listen to and sample it, but sampling does not get you every little squeak or thing.
Yeah. So, exactly.
I appreciate any heads up.
Yeah, the other suggestion of having you move less just isn't going to happen.
No, God, no.
It's just not going
to
happen.
Anybody that says I should move less has never been to one of my talks.
Yeah.
I remember once I had a talk and I was likened to James Brown, how much I was all over the stage.
Yeah.
And it was pretty accurate. Oh, my God, he's sweating and moving like James Brown up there.
Yeah.
And it was just a talk about copyright. I'm all over that, bing ponging back and forth.
Yeah.
Yeah, that
you're very animated.
I'm very animated when I'm speaking to a group. I'm not very animated in regular conversation. Not as animated.
Still, you're fairly animated.
Anyways,
we're getting laughs.
We're talking about photography.
Yes. Okay.
Let's bring it up because the whole idea is, like I said, haunts are working on marketing.
Right.
If they're planning on opening, they're starting that ball rolling now. Especially since you probably have many of your scenes done, is a great time to think about getting those photos.
Right.
That way you can get the photos taken, get them edited, get them back to you in plenty of time to put them in flyers, put them in ads, put them in whatever you need them.
Right.
Now's the time, roughly, to start thinking about it.
Yeah.
So the first step is going to be finding a photographer.
Exactly. Finding a photographer. How do you do that?
Yeah. Good
if
question.
There's not a dedicated haunt photographer in your area, which there are very few of those, there are very few, you've got to look at their portfolio because haunts are hard to shoot.
Yeah.
They are very hard, and I'll tell you why, because I do a lot of concert photography, which concerts, there's a lot of movement, there's red lights, and there's fog.
And there's low light.
And there's low light. None of that is easy to shoot in.
Yeah, you basically line up the things that make something crap to shoot. A haunt is every one of those things.
Exactly.
Right down the list.
Exactly. So.
Oh, and cramped spaces don't help either.
That one's more...
It limits the types of shots you can get.
It does limit the type of shot, yes. But I don't think it limits the shots itself.
Okay, fair enough.
But no, I mean, the reason I became a photographer was because I was doing shoots for my music friends. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I went to a professional that's a friend of mine and said, hey, how do you shoot musicians? Well, I mean, what's the secret? How do you get clear photos? And he's like, oh, I don't. You shouldn't. There's no way to do it. So then I had to go improve my
career. And you're like, challenge accepted, motherfucker.
Exactly.
Let's rock.
Exactly.
Because that's Crystal. That conversation summarizes everything you need to know about Crystal in like two lines.
Pretty much, yeah.
Challenge accepted, motherfucker. You need to put that on a t-shirt.
Maybe we'll put it on a Haunt Weekly t-shirt.
Challenge accepted, motherfucker.
Going. Yes, I know. We're working on it. Still.
Oh, Lord.
So what are you looking for in portfolios for photographers in your area? You need someone who has been shooting in dim lighting. Movement, if they are showing movement in their photos or if they're not. And that's something that you want to decide. Do you want to show photo movement in your photos or do you want it more posed? Boudoir photographers actually do a lot of soft lighting and they have a good handle on how to accentuate the things that need to be accentuated and hide the flaws.
And they're also very good at working with shadow, which is a common problem inside of a haunt.
Right, it is. And also, you know how if you turn up all the haunt lights, the haunt doesn't look as good as if the lights are dim?
Well, no, I have no idea what you mean.
Yeah, yeah.
None
exactly.
at all.
They can hide those flaws. You know, they're very good at that. So pay attention to how they light their subjects. Are their colors in the photos rich? One of the things that in photography class they teach you, every photo needs to have a true black and a true white in the shot somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't, then it's not calibrated correctly. So and you could fix that in post, but it's easier just to do it right the first time.
And then one of the problems of fixing it in post is, okay, if you have, say you have a true black but not a true white.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to brighten the whites. Well, that's going to mute your other colors between
exactly.
the two. And that's one of the problems with fixing in post is adjusting levels always impacts the richness of other colors. The more adjustment you have to do in post, like if you've ever taken a really washed out photo and run it through Photoshop and did the auto level and made it, it looks better.
Yeah.
But it still looks off.
Yeah.
It looks a little wrong. It looks like a little technicolor-y sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
That's because you're basically stretching the spectrum out to get that true white. And as a result of that, you're going to impact all the other colors.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
So,
you're doing well.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I just scrolled past. And then I've got chat going, too, so.
Well, I got to check the time.
We're fine.
Okay.
All right. Planting the shoot. You know your haunt better than anybody else, especially
hopefully.
A photographer who you haven't worked with before. So think about what scenes you want to highlight. Which ones are your best decorated? Which ones get the most pop, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
So the best scene, best actor, which actors have the creepiest movements? Because that can play into your photos.
And keep in mind as you're thinking about this, the things that maybe get the biggest reactions in your haunt
right.
may not be the best things to take photos of.
Right.
If you have a really, really detailed scene, even if it's a transitional sequence that maybe isn't super scary or super powerful, it may still be a great place to take some photos.
Yeah.
Especially if it's a little more lit or a little, you know, more lit with white light. You might be able to make it work better. So it's something to think about. And same deal with the actors. Not necessarily, you know, you might think this person's your best actor, but if they're working in a black morph suit, unless their character is just a black morph suit, they're not going to photograph well. You have to think about someone that's a good actor, but also has a very interesting look. And I agree with you, movement. Because even though I know a lot of people are going to be thinking, you can't get movement with a photograph.
You can.
Yes, you can. And if you can get like a zombie doing a weird pose, like the neck's all disjointed and the shoulder looks dislocated.
Right.
Some actors can do that and make it look very convincing.
Right.
And that's very uncanny valley, and it really stands out when you take the photo. When you're scrolling through Facebook or something and you see that come up on your feed, oh, you're going to pause.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the ways to do that, and it's later in the notes too, is to actually have the actors move in a way that they would be in that scene.
Yep.
So if your actor isn't used to working that scene, they may need some practice before you get the photographer actually there.
Yeah. Give them a chance to work through it a few times, to play with it, to see how the space operates.
Yeah. And think about what makeup costume will go pop most on all the social media and stuff, because you got to keep that in mind too. Remember that gore and violence restrictions on social media. Fearworm Hauntvertising did a great talk about this early June, and all of their videos are still up, so you can go and watch that.
Yeah, we're not going to go too deep into that because they did that part really well.
Right, exactly. I have nothing to add to what they said.
Yeah, long story short, you want to pay attention to what is allowable on social media because a lot of these photos are going to be used there, so too much violence, too much gore could get you banned from social media. Not just, you know, if you use it as an ad, paid ad, but even if you just use it as a post, you could create problems. And the last thing you want is to get shut out of your social media accounts or get put in Facebook jail in the middle of haunt season.
Right, or the run-up to it.
Yeah.
Because then nobody knows who you are.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't know that you're there.
So it's better to play conservative with that type of stuff. And one thing I would look at is try to find actors, if you're going to have actors in the shot, have actors who have a high contrast between their look and the backdrop.
Yeah.
If you've got a very, very dark scene in the background, lots of browns, lots of blacks, you're going to want an actor, rather, with maybe a ghost character or someone that's white and pale or that would stand out against it.
Yeah, there are tricks to lighting actors so that the actor stands out from the background and a good photographer will be able to pull them out. But that does make it easier.
Yes.
And remember that when you're planning to pay everyone involved in the shoot, including your makeup actors, your staff, your actors, everybody.
Yeah.
So that has to go into your budget for this photo shoot.
Yeah, I agree.
All right.
And especially since this oftentimes will be an after hours thing or a weekend thing, you don't want to ask people to come in on a Saturday or a Sunday or whatever and do this and not at least offer them to pay them for their time.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So,
speaking of payment.
Yes, exactly. That was a good segue. What to expect for payment for photographers? How do they charge? This is a basic question because, so some of you already know this, but a lot of photographers aren't going to give you a flat rate for the shoot. There are very few that will. The reason is that if you're late or your actor's late or people are late getting out of makeup, or, you know, something happens and the power goes out. anything can happen, that's time. And time is money, as we all know.
Mm-hmm.
So usually there is a sitting fee plus an hourly rate. Some photographers will just do an hourly rate, but there's also cancellation fees to consider. And some photographers will give guarantees that if, you know, you don't like the products,
mm-hmm.
A, you don't get to use them, but because you just said you didn't like them, but B, they may take some percentage off the price. Not a lot of people do that. I might have been the only one.
So. No, that, in my experience, is photographers don't really do that. And the reason is because they can't regain their time, and this is all about their time. Their time is their money in this case.
Mm-hmm.
That said, another thing to look out for is that a lot of photographers will have a minimum.
Yes.
They might say, okay, it's a sitting fee, you know, we'll say $100 or whatever, just throwing out round numbers. Yeah. I'm not saying it should be that. Plus two $150 hours minimum. Yeah. So that's a minimum of $400.
Yeah.
Now, what that means is if you're super efficient and you get everything done in that shoot in 1 hour, you don't get the first $150 back.
Right.
So what if you are facing that, you want to make sure that A, you can get everything done in the minimum time, mm-hmm. but B, that you have enough to do to make full use of that time.
Yeah.
You have maybe have a backup scene you can shoot just in case everything goes super smooth and the photographer has all the images they need early on, that you have other things that you can do and get more out of it. So be thinking about that too. Be flexible with what you want shot. Have a priority list, but make it a long enough one to guarantee you get that minimum time.
Yeah, exactly. So going more things to do with this is, do you want the photographer to set up the shot or do you want to direct the shots? This is important because some photographers are more creative than others. They want a little bit of the creative control because photography is a creative medium.
Mm-hmm.
But some people are just point and shoot. You set everything up, you tell them to shoot it, they make sure that the camera's all set up right so it gets the shot you want.
And they frame everything pretty.
And they frame it, and yeah. And so you have to think about which type of photographer you want to work with.
And this is something you can hash out with a photographer as you're first talking about this.
Right.
This is not something to hash out after you've made your down payment.
Yeah, no.
This is something to be discussing when you fill out the little contact form. We are interested in having a shoot with you and talk about the extent of creative control you want over the process. A lot of times, in my experience, it is just better to sort of give it to the photographer, say, we want to shoot this scene, mm-hmm. with this is the actor in the scene.
Right.
You make it pretty.
Yeah. Exactly.
But it's a bit like when you go to a hairstylist. Sometimes you go to a hairstylist, this is what I want. This is the picture of what I want. I want to look like this person. I look like Don King. And then other times you go to the barber and say, just make me look good.
You know,
understand the level of control you want in this process.
Exactly.
And be prepared to voice that as early as practical in the process of discussion.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Because it is hard to work with someone who does not put that up front.
Mm-hmm. It definitely is.
Okay. Another thing is ask in these initial talks with the photographer, ask them if they're comfortable with music playing in the background. Because that can help, you know, relax actors, give them, you know, good vibe.
Yeah, this is if it helps the actor too and everyone else there.
Yeah, it usually does.
Usually, but.
Yeah. But, because. Yeah, it's nice to have background noise, for me at least, but I don't know, maybe they can't hear or they can't, you know, concentrate with other noises going on. So ask also, how long does it take to get the photos back?
Mm-hmm.
And what format are you getting them in? So know what you're paying for.
Photographers will often have like a web backend that they provide and give you password access to the photos.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. That's good. Personally, and I'm thinking from the customer side here, I would prefer some kind of physical medium, even if it's just a USB drive or a burned CD.
Yeah.
And the reason is because websites go down.
Yeah, there is that. And also, so the other thing about it is, that having it on physical medium gives you the biggest files.
Yes.
And you can ask if you can provide like a external hard drive for this. That would be great. If a client came to me with that, I would just love them.
Yeah.
Because I used Google Drive for a while, and you can't upload the full-size images there because there's so many of them.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to want to, you need to expect to get back hundreds of photos.
And very, very large raw photos.
Yeah.
And be clear about this. If you're working in the professional photography, these photographs are going to be much, much larger than what you're used to working with. Because when you download a photo from the internet, we'll say, you're getting something that's probably 96 pixel. It's usually, it was 72, now it's 96 typically, pixels per square inch, per inch. So it's a lower resolution. It's going to be a, it might be big, but it's still not going to be giant.
Right.
And so it's going to be at most a couple of megs. We're talking probably much, much. And it's going to be a format that's also reduced.
Yeah.
These photos ideally should be none of those things.
Right. And you'll want to ask them if, you know, the size of the photos that you're getting back and if they're also going to give you the raw photos.
Mm-hmm.
So the raw photos, the magic behind them is that you can manipulate them yourself much more.
Yeah.
And they're also, they can go up to any size pretty much.
Yeah.
They can be, you know, screen size.
And a good example of a situation there is if you're wanting to use these photos for outdoor advertising, we'll put in a billboard, you're going to need probably the raw photos at some point.
Exactly.
And you're probably going to need, because that's what whoever is designing the billboard is going to want to do for the graphic design work on that.
Yeah.
Or you're going to need something at least of that equivalent size and scope. I mean, it might work in a different format, but it's got to be of that size.
Yeah.
And so you're talking like, what digital cameras today? They go up to absolutely insane megapixels.
They do.
I've lost complete track of where we are.
Yeah. Yeah. So they would be fit to print on billboards, though.
Yeah.
If you can get those raw files.
Yeah. So my advice there is, like I said, work with them. Ask what formats they provide in. And ideally, you want both pre- and post-edits.
Yeah.
Because while most photographers do at least a competent job editing photos, you may not agree with their editing vision.
Right, exactly.
They may be competently edited, but they may not be edited in a way that's right for you, and you can take them to someone else or even do them yourself in some cases to manipulate them and do other things with them. And that just makes it easier for you if you have a raw, naked photo to start with.
Yeah.
All right.
Exactly. Okay, so the final thing to ask right now, when you're talking, trying to still nail down your photographer, is do they do video?
Yeah.
A lot of photographers don't. They don't. But if you're looking for a video shoot, if you like the still photos that this photographer produces for you, then they may be able to do videos.
And you may be looking for very short videos, like TikTok videos or Twitter videos or things like that. These short 5 to 10 second, and like Instagram videos too does this.
Yeah.
5 to 10 second little bit, like more like moving images.
Right.
Might be something to see if you can get. Because those can be very, very good for social media or even like GIF-like videos in some cases.
Yeah. Okay. This is your section.
So the photographer contract, the very first thing is to make sure you have a contract in writing. Any professional photographer, any prosumer photographer should have a stock contract that they work from. The main thing you want to avoid is a situation where someone comes to your haunt, takes a bunch of photos, nothing's in writing, and now you don't know who owns what or what rights you have on it. And if they get pissy about something, you didn't put me in the right, they're an actor, and you didn't put them in the right room. And they get pissy about that later. They can come back and cause all kinds of stink. They may not be able to win, but you want to avoid a situation where there's what's known as an implied license, which is where basically the courts have to go, okay, what did everybody intend to happen based upon their actions? Basically, nobody goes away happy when that happens.
No.
Everybody loses, literally. It's just like dropping a nuke in a courtroom. Everyone loses when that happens.
No.
I've never heard of an implied license case where anybody was satisfied at the end of it.
Right.
And I've followed dozens. So, if you need a contract, there are multiple stock contracts online. You can simply Google it. But the ideal for you as a customer is to have it so that it is a work for hire or that the copyright is transferred to you. ideally, you want the copyrights and ownership of that work. Mm-hmm. That's the ideal. It will cost you. If you're dealing with a professional photographer and you're going to demand full rights to the work, it will be expensive.
Yeah.
I guarantee it.
Mm-hmm.
It will be expensive. At least it damn well should be expensive.
It should.
And the other alternative is if you happen to have an actual employee of your company that's a photographer, you can have them do the photography as part of their employment, i.e. you're paying them their hourly rate or whatever while they're there, but they have to be natural. That gets into employment law more than copyright law.
Yeah.
So I don't want to delve too deep into it, but if you have an actual, honest-to-God employee, not a contractor, not a temp, not a anything like that, then yeah, that can work too. But if they're a contractor of any stripe, you need to, if you want that copyright, you have to have it transferred to you in writing, ideally before the shoot happens. It will cost you, but it may be worth it, especially if you want to make long-term use of this.
Right, and this is really important, even, you know, especially if you use just an actor who says, I like doing photography, let me do your photography for you.
Hmm.
You know, you need something in writing that protects you.
And them.
And them.
Through proxy, and them. Because that's the thing about a good contract is it sets everyone's expectations. Nobody gets pissy when things go sideways or whatever. Basically, everyone just walks away and that's the end of it. It helps everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And it may seem like, oh, well, you're screwing them out of their rights or whatever. If the expectation's there and everyone's happy to do it that way,
yeah,
then what they're avoiding is a legal confrontation down the road that'd be expensive and hurtful to them, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Those don't help anyone.
No.
So here's the thing. If you can't get transfer the copyright, at least make sure you know what rights in the work you do have. Basically, if they won't sign over the copyrights or it's too expensive, they will instead give you a license to use the work. And this will tell you things that you can and cannot do. Now, the photographer is still the ultimate owner in this situation.
Yeah.
So that means they can resell, they can distribute it, they can do other things with the photos, they can put it in their portfolio, whatever. They probably won't, but they could, at least theoretically. And they might use it in their portfolio.
Yeah.
But they won't. They probably won't resell or distribute them elsewhere.
I mean, there is a nightmare scenario where they could.
Yeah, they could.
Where they could print them on T-shirts and sell them in your area.
Or they could just sell them to stock photo libraries and your competing haunts get to use them.
Exactly. And
theoretically, entirely possible.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons. You definitely want that copyright, or at the very least, you want an exclusion that prevents them from doing that.
Yeah.
That can be worked into the contract. But yeah, they won't be your images, but you can use them. Just make sure that the contract is spelled out. And the things to look for if you're not taking copyright control,
mm-hmm.
is one is, what does the license allow? Does it allow you to resell it? Can you put it on T-shirts and sell it? Can you sell copies of the photos at your souvenir stand or whatever? Is it okay to use in marketing, social media, etc., advertising?
You know, I've never seen, like, autographed character photos at a haunt for sale, but I would probably buy that.
It was a cool enough character, absolutely. That's an idea. We should really do some of that. Is there a time limit on the license? Sometimes licenses are time-bound.
Right.
5 years, 10 years, whatever. And then the theory is, if you're still using them in 10 years, you need to come back and renegotiate a new license.
Yeah.
Check for that. If it's perpetual, don't worry about it. But if it's not perpetual, worry about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Any attribution requirements? Are they going to require that if you use it, you attribute the photographer? More specifically, are they going to require you keep their watermark intact? They probably not. I would hope not. But check and make sure of these things. Because you can get stuck with a really bum deal here.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and removing that watermark is trouble.
That's a terrible idea.
Trouble.
From a copyright standpoint, that is one of the worst things you can do for yourself, because it is super easy to sue someone for removing what is known as copyright management information, which is what a watermark is.
Yep.
You're removing CMI is super easy to sue for, and it's like an instant $10,000.
Yep.
It's easy money from their perspective.
Exactly.
So be thinking about that. But see if there's a watermark requirement, and if there is, you have to follow it. And basically, if there are any cost or any options for extension or expansion, if you want more rights or longer term, what's the deal?
Yeah. All right.
And the other element you need to think about is model releases.
Yes.
If you're going to have models in your photos, you need to make sure to get a release from them so you can use their likeness commercially. Now, this mostly only applies to models who are recognizable in the photos.
Mm-hmm.
If they're just an amorphous shape or whatever, it may not be as important, but it's still a good idea, because as long as they are recognizable to pretty much anyone,
yeah,
which is an amazingly low bar, you're limited in using it in advertising, because that can be considered false representation.
Yeah.
This protects you. Basically, they sign knowing what your intent with that photograph is, and it protects you.
Yeah.
And it sets up the expectations of ownership once the photo is taken, and it gives you just the full clearance to use it in whatever advertising, promotion, sale that you want.
Yeah, and we've seen in the news over the years, you know, where a character actor had a falling out with their haunt,
mm-hmm,
and demanded that they remove all pictures of their character.
Yeah.
You know? So you want to make sure that that model release is in place.
Yeah, that model release can prevent that. The next up. Back to your stuff. I think we're about 40 minutes in, I think.
Yes, we are. All right. So one of the things you're going to want to do is create a shoot list. This is a set list for the photographer. You know how bands have set lists? This is the exact same thing, only for photos. If you can, take photos of the scenes that you want to shoot and send them to the photographer so that they can be thinking about this in advance.
Mm-hmm.
And ask the photographer if they want that. Like, I would want that.
Yeah. And remember what we discussed previously, though, where you have some flexibility in it. These are the ones we want most urgently. These are the if we have time.
Right.
Something like that can help a lot.
Exactly. But giving them an idea of what environment they're going to be shooting in.
Especially the most important ones.
Yeah. Is a good idea, because then they can have in their head what they're going to want.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, the day of the shoot has arrived.
Day of the shoot.
Yeah. So, have your makeup artists and your actors show up early. Everyone needs to get there before the photographer does and be ready to go as soon as the photographer is scheduled to be there.
Remember, once the photographer arrives and is ready to work, the clock starts.
Exactly. You don't want to keep them waiting while you're still getting ready.
Mm-hmm.
Warm up the actors like on an open night. You know, have them do their movements, get everything amped up, have it fun. Because lots of photo shoots are fun, and I don't think a lot of people know that.
No, they don't. I've enjoyed photo shoots with you before. You've done it with me. I'm a difficult person to shoot.
Yeah, you don't ever seem like you're having fun. Like I said, next but time I'm getting two beers into you before we
but
go.
But I do in character.
Yeah, that's true.
In character,
in
I'm
Bernie,
very...
you do.
I'm very, very different.
That's true. So, turn on scene lights. Photographer may bring additional lights if they looked at the photos that you sent and mm-hmm. said, oh, this is going to be too dark.
And that is a possibility, is if the photographer wants to come see the scenes beforehand and get the lay of the land, then they can, okay, I need to bring an extra stand light here or an overhead light for this room. And they can make that judgment call and be ready.
Right. And typically the setup time is at a lower rate.
Yeah.
If they charge at all for setup time. Some don't. So make sure that the scene is clear of debris, trash cans, anything.
What debris?
Yeah. yeah, exactly.
What debris?
Yeah. Make sure that, you know. Well, because there have been ads and things, and news photos are the worst about it. About, you know, putting photos out there with something coming out of somebody's head or trash on the floor. Or
and news photographers and editors, in their defense, have to, like, they are the hyper speed beasts of this. It's not necessarily their fault.
Yeah. Or, you know, there's a water bottle in that scene because the actor just finished drinking one. And
yeah, it was a hot day.
Yeah, exactly. So make sure that the actor run and slash entrance to the scene is also clear. Because if you have something that the actor can come out of into the scene, the photographer may want to see them do that and try to catch them as they're coming in. Especially if your actor scene in the back, if your actor run, is just black walls.
Mm-hmm.
Because my favorite shoot ever was done inside of a cardboard box. Because this is back when I was doing black and white film, and cardboard box, lights outside, the model coming out, and everything was perfect with it. And you couldn't tell that it was inside of a cardboard box. Alright, so check and recheck the makeup and costumes. This is also something that Fearworm Advertising mentioned, is that, you know, they have showed up to do shoots and the people didn't have their makeup on their arms or their full costume wasn't on. They forgot to take their tennis shoes off and put on appropriate shoes because you might get full length, full body shots.
Yeah, treat this closer to a dress rehearsal than...
Exactly.
Or an opening night as than a photo shoot. Don't write this all casually.
Yeah.
And it goes for everyone involved.
Yeah, and a creative photographer will already have an idea of where they're going to put the actors in the scenes based on the photos that you sent them.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they had a chance to come by and look at the scenes ahead of time. Because that's something that we do as we plan a lot in our head because mm-hmm. we can picture it. But
Ellie gonna hurt you.
She's helping me. A point and shoot will expect you to place the actor in the scene, tell the actor what to do, and they're just gonna point and shoot. So ask to see the shots as they go, especially if it's a new photographer you're working with. And once you're comfortable, then let them do their thing. Just back off a little. But if you see something that they're missing, be sure to say, hey, what if they did this? What if you had them do this?
And also, if you know, I mean, ultimately you're in charge of your marketing material.
Exactly.
If you know, hey, we're thinking about doing a brochure, we need an actor doing something like this pose.
Yeah.
Can we do one with them like that?
Exactly.
And see if that works well.
Exactly. With the Bernie, we always do one pointing this way and pointing that way.
And
just in case it ever gets flipped on the marketing.
Yeah. So be thinking about that and try to get shots that will fit into where you're trying to go with the marketing side of it. And remember, like I said, you've got to get social media posts, flyers, possibly TV commercials, things like that. So be thinking about those things.
Yeah, exactly. And you never want to flip an image of a person, mm-hmm. especially if the hands are in the shot.
Yeah, especially if their thumbs are in the shot. Because then it becomes Johnny Backward Thumbs.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So don't do that.
The worst mafia boss ever.
just shoot it twice, once each direction. It'll work out fine. Make sure to provide water and drinks for everybody on set because sets can get hot because of the extra lighting if there is any.
Absolutely. And if you are an actor going to one of these, speaking of which, that's the first thing you should expect. Is that this is going to be hotter than normal. A, you're probably doing it in summer.
Right.
B, there will be extra lights. So that means a bunch of things. One is you need to be prepared for it. Maybe consider finding ways to make your costume lighter in terms of, because if, like, I know that I've worn winter costumes and summer costumes. Maybe bring you a summer costume, you know, warmer weather costumes. So be prepared for that. Also be prepared to need more makeup touch-ups because due to sweat than you normally would need. So be prepared for that. And yeah, be prepared to be moving a lot. For a photo shoot, generally speaking, you will be moving a fair amount. May not be doing the sudden jerk movements that you would do for a startle.
Right.
But you're going to be doing a lot of fairly swift movement, typically.
Yeah, so move inside the scene. You might be asked to hold an uncomfortable position, especially if you do any contortionist type moves. You may be asked to hold it for a few seconds.
I remember with Bernie once, we didn't actually end up using the shot, but you had me hold a pose where I was on my elbows over like a table or something.
Yeah.
And to make it work, my feet had to leave the ground. So I'm basically like, feels like I was planking with my core trying to hold this pose. And it looked cool, but it just didn't fit with any of the marketing we were doing.
Right. Yeah. So do not choose actors who only look directly at camera lenses. Camera work people are very hard to work with for a photographer.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Because, you know, you want them looking offside or not here.
Well, that
not straight at the camera.
You get very unnatural facial reactions.
Yeah.
Because everyone has seen the, okay, say cheese.
Exactly.
Like, and you just can hear, like, a silverback gorilla thumping his chest at all the teeth being shown in the
phone. Yeah, and that is part of it. Because there are, you know, there are people who, growing up, practice their camera face, their picture day face, you know? I was one of those people.
Yeah.
I have a particular, this is what I do in a photo. because I don't like being in front of the camera.
We have a friend, I'm not going to name her, but I don't think she's in the haunt community, but we always get a laugh going through her Facebook pics, because in every pic, profile pic, post pic, she's out with friends pic, whatever, same exact fucking look on her face. You can, like, overlay them, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, just like a time lapse of her life.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there are people that do that. Every time they see a camera, they strike one particular pose. And it's hard and impossible.
And they stop moving.
Yeah. And it's hard / impossible to catch them in anything that feels organic.
Right.
And here, organic is going to be very important.
Yeah. Exactly. And it's already non-organic for the actor because they're working without the crowd. They're working on a night that's not in October, you know, or a day, whichever. But yeah, the easiest way to get the best shots is to have the actor doing movements that they would normally do in those scenes.
Yeah, great.
Now, some photographers are very comfortable posing the actors into different positions.
You know, move your elbow this way, or your head back more, whatever.
Yeah, but I find that those kind of shots are, they look staged. They just feel staged. They don't feel real. There's not an energy in them.
And that could be fine for a lot of purposes.
Yes, it could.
But for a haunt advertisement where you're trying to be creepy and try to show, the authenticity is a big part of it.
Yeah.
I know, we got to wrap it up.
Exactly. So, finally, we're going to talk a little bit about using actors, friends, families as your photographer.
People you know,
We've talked about some of this already. You still need a contract. You still need to pay them. Pay them, please. Drawbox is you may be less critical of the work that they do.
Yeah.
You may not like the work they do. And you may damage the relationship.
Honestly, and I'm not a very big fan. Like, with Crystal, it's different because I know Crystal's work. I know she fits well for doing haunt shoots. That's one thing.
Yeah.
I trust her work. And I've known it for over half my life now. I'm about to have spent more of my life with you than without you.
Yeah.
That moment's coming up literally in like 14 days now.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, it's a bit of a weird thought there. But the point is, I know your work very well. It's a little different. But if this is, like, you know, your cousin's first photography gig or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, you might be setting yourself up for some drama. And it might be a situation where, hey, maybe bring them along, let them shoot some.
Yeah.
But also hire an actual professional photographer. That way you can compare notes, say what they're doing, and talk to them and be more honest about it.
Right.
And you know you have the photos you need for your purposes.
Yeah.
Maybe give them the chance to take the photos, maybe a chance to participate.
And if you're going to do that, make sure that the photographer knows ahead of time.
Yes. Oh, yes. God, yes. Please, yes, yes,
Don't have the photographer show up. And then you spring somebody on them that's going to be their second photographer.
Yes, yes. And if you're going to do that, one thing I would do personally is have that the new person taking photos after the professional photographer's moved to the next scene or moved to the next thing or they're on break.
Yeah.
Don't have them taking photos at the same time. It won't work.
Okay.
Probably not. Not in the tight confines of most haunts, especially.
Yeah.
But anyways, the weekly question, I'm curious, as a marketing guy, I'm curious what other people have been saying.
Okay, so Ellie was lovely and put all these in for me into a text message because I was losing track of the chat this week.
Yes, I...
Okay, so Greg Reinhardt said, worked as a hayride run by a large general store that would include a coupon for a small percentage off sales of Halloween stuff on their flyer. So every bag got a coupon.
Oh, neat.
Brian Foreman says, run contest on Facebook within Facebook guidelines at the time. Get 2 free tickets by tagging the person you would take with you. Share this post, etc. Once a week, mention the contest on a Friday and announce the winner Friday before haunt opens. We have a cat in here now.
We always have a cat in here. It's just... The cat's now awake.
Ellie said, put your haunt near a school.
That has actually been one of our most effective tricks, is having the haunt. And I'm a little unnerved because the high school's moving.
I know. Granted, it's just moving to the other end of the road.
Yeah, it's moving basically the other end of the road. But it is moving, and it's going to be different. It's going to be interesting.
Yes. Okay. And Ty Rowley said, if there's a podcast that you can get on to tell your backstory and promote your haunt, that's his favorite way. Ty actually has a new podcast he's trying to get off the ground.
We were just on it, actually.
We were, and we will share that link out once it goes live.
Yeah, once it goes live, we did it. We sat down with Ty for about an hour, had a great time.
Yep.
And we've not mentioned it because it's not live yet.
Yeah.
But we will be whenever it goes live fully, and we'll be sharing that link out, like I said. Well, I think that's it. Definitely, once again, the weekly question is, what is your favorite haunt marketing trick? It could be something you've seen done. It could be something you've done yourselves. Mm-hmm. Either way, just want to get your ideas. Drop that to us. If you're not, like I said, not joining us live, drop it to us. Haunt Weekly on Facebook. Haunt Weekly on Twitter. HauntWeekly.com. Beautiful contact form. Join us there. Also, YouTube.com/HauntWeekly. Leave it as a comment on this episode. Messages via YouTube are weird, and we don't always get those. But comments. Oh, YouTube is like alarm-belling us. Comments. We'll get the comments. So those are the places to let us know. Also, if you just want to subscribe and don't want to answer the weekly question, you can find us at Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you find your podcast, we are there. Well, I think that's all for this week. Great job with the notes this week. I appreciate you taking care of them. Mm-hmm. You give me mostly a week off from writing show notes. I appreciate it. Until next... I just hit puberty. What the hell? Let's try that again. Until next time, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this was Haunt Weekly, episode 242, talking about how to work with a photographer. We will see you guys next week.